start to sing. It is called the Gathering of Mysteries, but whenever we gather to pray, it becomes the Gathering of Spirits. Men don't pray, Holy Spirit does. Welcome to BBC Prayer Network, a home where we eat light and excrete flame. Shortly, you will be hearing from God's servant, Apostle Alfred Okoduru. Sit tight, it was carried spirit and power. Shalom.
Okay, let's start with the book of John. John chapter 20. Oh no, let's go to 19. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. If you are there, say I am there. Wait for the people who are not there. You are not yet there. John chapter 19. is it a fine John? You are still looking for it. Say I'm there. Which of the John? Is it first John, second John, or third John? How do you know you are there? Okay, John chapter 19. Verse 38. Are we there now? Verse 38. This is Bible study. So what we want to do is to study the Bible. So I'll read 38, you read 39. I'll read 40, you read 41, I'll read 42. So we're taking it to just 42. Are you ready now? I read 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. Now read verse 39. Yes? Yes. What are you reading? 19, I'm in 39 now. You see, you are not there. That's why when I was reading 38, you were confused. Now 39. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night. About 100 pounds. We would address the scripture later, but let's read it first. Now 40. Then they took the body of Christ and bound it in stripes of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now 41. Now, where was crucified? Yes. There was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb, which is also sepulchre, in which no one had yet been laid. We'll look at the scripture, but let's read 42 now, the final one. Can we take it together? So there they laid Jesus. Yes. The tomb was at hand. Father, as we want to look at the scripture, we pray that let the scripture bless us, let it direct us, in Jesus' name. Now look up. This is Bible study, so we are going to look at this scripture again and study it. So I will teach you how I study the Bible by rereading it, and we'll begin to look at. See, when you are reading the Bible, please give me your attention, because this Bible study, I'm not preaching. When you are reading the Bible, there are key points. Tell your neighbor, say key points that you note. If you are reading the Bible, number one, you look out for what? Key points. Yes. Then number two, you look out for key words. Key words. Then number three, you look out for the intention of the writer. I hope you are writing it down. Number one, you look out for what? The keywords. Mean For the, if you look at a particular verse, when we look at it now, we'll practicalize it. If you look at a particular verse and you read the verse, there are key words in that verse. Then there are also key points. Now, if you go to school, you know what is called key points. A big textbook can be compiled into a small handbook called key points. Now, the difference between that handbook and the textbook is that the handbook contains the same topics that the textbook contains, but the handbook is more focused on key points. Like, for instance, now, if we look at a textbook now, you see, like, introduction to biology, for instance, let me biology, for instance, you will see that they will not be explaining the first man that did this, the first man that did that, the first man that did this, before they will not explain what is biology. But key point, we go straight. The first chapter, introduction to biology. Next line, what is biology? The next line, biology is the study. No time for story. That's key point. So key point is straight to the point. So when you are reading the scripture, there are key points in every verse you read that you must be looking out for. There are, no matter how long the story is, there are key points. The number three, what's the last thing I talked about? Keywords, key points, and words. That intention of the writer. The intention of the writer. For instance, there is a scripture that the church abused today. Give what belongs to. Because we don't understand the intention of the writer. So give what belongs to Caesar. To Caesar mean even when a girl is dating a boy, it's to our definition, when a girl is dating a boy and the boy is spending on the girl and the boy demands for sex, give what belongs to. So meaning that because the boy is giving the girl money, the girl ought to give Caesar. So is that, is your body Caesar's property? Is the boy Caesar? Now, how to understand the intention, like that quote, give what belongs to Caesar to Caesar, to understand the intention behind that quote, you will not go back to the story. So maybe, if, for instance, it is verse 16 that talks about give what belongs to Caesar, you should go back to at least verse 1 and look for the intention. Why did this man make this statement? You understand this? How you understand intention? Why did Jesus make this statement? Give what belongs to Caesar. So if you can understand why he made the statement, it means you have understand the intention of that quote. But this is where many people make mistake in church today. We just pick quotes. You can just sit down and just say, Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together except there is an agreement. What happened to verse 1 and verse 2? What bring that, or what led to that verse 3? You don't know. So it means that you don't know the intention of that scripture. So intention. Now we are going to look at where we read now. Where we read now, to you it may not make sense, but let's study it. You are going to see. No time. Let's go straight. The time is up. Okay, let's start again from 38. Because if we have time, I would have gone deep. But no, let's just take 5 minutes to do this. 38. After this, comma. Is it not so in your Bible? After this, comma. Now drop your Bible. This is how you read your Bible. After what? Which this? What is the this? Now, to know that this, you will not look for the intention. Meaning you will go back. Where is verse 38? You should go back to at least, let me say, from verse 30. Is that not true? And if you get to 30 and you still did not understand the this, because the Bible says after this means something just happened. That's the truth now. Something just happened. So after this, now, if you cannot see it in verse 30, you go to verse 20, you go to verse 10, or you go to verse 1. Now, I don't have the time to take you back because there is no time for this Bible study. But let me tell you, before I even tell you that this, you don't know. Now look at that. Let's read that passage again. Whether you can figure out the this, because this is Bible study. If I'm preaching now, we'll just be giving you rhema. This not. I want to teach you how to understand the Bible. Now look at that scripture again. After this, Joseph of Arimathea being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So afterwards, after the death of Jesus. You see how you pick intention now. After, do you know the reason why the writer put a comma there? It's for emphasis, so that you will know, so that you can at least, even though you did not read from verse 1 to verse 37, you can know from after this that there is something that happened. That's how the Bible is written. Every punctuation mark in the Bible is for emphasis. It was not placed there because you are writing Waek. Or you, it was not placed there because you are writing jam. Every punctuation, every italics, there are some words you will see them in italics. There are some words you will see them in red. There are some words you will see them bold. There are some words you will see them in sentence case. You will see them in upper case. You will see some in title case. Those emphasis is for what? Is for note, if I have like it, for notification. It's a key point. The writer puts those things there so that you can look at those things and meditate. The Bible says meditate in the word. After this, meaning after the burial of Jesus, after the death of Jesus, sorry to say. Now, Joseph of Arimathea, comma, again. Is it not so in your Bible? Look your Bible, I may be deceiving you. After this, comma, Joseph of Arimathea, comma. Now, you, if you are studying your Bible, and truly you are studying your Bible, you will pause again. Who is Joseph of Arimathea? That is why the writer put comma there, so that you will at least pause. Comma mean what? Full stop mean? Okay. So comma mean, don't close your Bible. So if you are reading your Bible and you see comma and you close the Bible, mean that you are a fool. You are not done with the reading, so you should stop reading your Bible from full stop. So comma mean pause and meditate. Full stop mean you cannot keep the Bible, continue tomorrow. You don't understand. Now Joseph of Arimathea, comma. Now let me ask you, now who is Joseph of Arimathea? Okay, you don't get sense. Now, Joseph of Arimathea is a disciple of Jesus, but not just the kind of disciple. He's a secret disciple. Wait now, not the rush. This is how we study the Bible. He's a secret disciple, meaning that even though you are a pastor, you will have public member and secret members. Oh, you don't know. You may be a celebrity. Not everybody will follow you, 1 million fans. There are people who will never follow you on Facebook, but they are your real fans. You don't know this. That day you know this, you will know that not everybody must be your friend. There are people who will never be your friend, but they will be the people that will bless you in life. The problem we have, we think it is only our friends that is useful to us. There are people who are too ashamed to walk with us in the daytime, but they come to us by night. The Bible says, look, read that place. Read for me. Read. Yes. Joseph of Arimathea, what? Secretly, we will talk about for the fear later. Secretly for the fear, yes. Of the Jews. Yes. Now, wait, leave it. Now, why is it that Joseph of Arimathea become a secret disciple of Jesus? Is it because he hates Jesus? Because of the fear. Hear me, because of the fear of certain people. There are many people who are my members, but because of the fear of their pastor, they are not in this church. You don't understand. There are many people who are my enemies today. They are not truly my enemies. But because of the fear of the person they are under, they pretend to be my enemy. There are many people you see today in life who hate you physically, but they are the one talking good about you. But there are many people you see who talk good about you openly. They are the one destroying you in the public, in the secret. What am I trying to say? In life, you will have secret admirers. Don't be deceived. We'll look at this story very well. You will discover that money does not come from public admirers. Money comes from secret admirers. The people run after you. Oh, my G, how do you call it? My bestie. They will never give you one error. But the people who did not work with you, talk to you, they are the people that will help you when you need financial help. Look at Jesus. Read the next verse. Let's see what happened. Okay, let's look at it. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night. Now, Joseph of Arimathea always comes to Jesus by night. In the daytime, he will pretend that he does not know Jesus. But yet, the Bible called him a disciple. Now, the other man, there are two of them who buried Jesus. Now, the other man, Nicodemus, also comes to Jesus at night. But the Bible says, he came bringing what? About what? 100 pounds. In the time of Jesus, were like a lie. 100 pounds in the time of Jesus. Jesus came to this earth over 2,000 years ago. And a man who is too ashamed to walk with Jesus in the daytime will come to Jesus in the night to give him 100 pounds. There is a secret in life you don't know. I'm telling you. There is a secret. If you think all these your friends you are carrying up and down, they are the one to make you rich, you will be poor. There are people who hate you today. Don't hate them back, because many of them, they may be hating you out of fear. Some of them, they are afraid of your rising. That's why they are hating you out of envy. Some of them, they are afraid of the Jews. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they never wanted to fraternize with Jesus in the day because they are afraid of the Jews. But yet, this man can sneak to Jesus in that time, over 2,000 years ago, and was giving Jesus in per night 100 pounds. Why Jesus? How Jesus want a poor? And I say Jesus poor. He was poor. He was made poor for my sake. Jesus was never poor because there was no day Jesus begged. Rather, people were begging from him. A man who is secret disciple can sneak into him in the night. See, let me tell you, there are many pastors you see today. I tell you the truth. It is unknown men that sponsor their ministry. There are many pastors you see today. This stupid fight, some of you fight. I'll just look at you, I'll just be laughing. You see some people, they'll say, no, I'm a Muslim. No, I'm a Christian. They will be fighting. There are many pastors today. It is Muslims who are surviving their torch. Now, Christian, view there. Which year? Which Christian? Which Christian view there? How many thousand do you pay here? There are many things. There are many pastors. It is witches and wizards that is sponsoring their ministry. In the night, they go to Kovu to fight against them. But in the daytime, they say, this pastor, no, this is work, must not die. You know, this pastor made the never feed the key people for Kovu. They sponsor the ministry. I'm telling you, if you want to live your life based on your sight, you will miss it in life. That is why the Bible says we walk by what? Not by sight. There are many things you see with your eyes. It is not true. Because if people see Joseph of Arimathea and Jesus one-on-one, they will think that they are not working together. But this man can sneak to Jesus in the night and give him 100 pounds. I pray for somebody. a family where nobody help anybody, God will raise an helper who will sneak to you in the night and sponsor you. Now let's look at the scripture again. Verse 40. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in stripes of linen with spices as the custom of the Jews to bury. Now verse 41. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. Comma. Is it like that in your Bible? Now look at the place where Jesus was crucified. Now let me ask you, what did the Bible call the place? What is the meaning of Golgotha? Place of scores and dry bones. And yet, the writer John was telling us that in that place of scores, there is a garden. How possible? Now this is key words. This is where wisdom now comes to play. Understanding the Bible, this is where wisdom now comes to play. Because they call the place Golgotha. If we pass course, I will cap out boom for here now. Can grass grow on those places? Can grass grow on boom? But the writer here said there is a garden in the place he was crucified. I don't say you never see understand the Roman, but I will still explain to you. But that's what this Bible study, that's why I want you to think. No, this is not the time to yawn. It's the hunger. You have not gotten hunger for the world. In the place he was crucified, there is a garden. Is it making sense to anybody? Are you sure? In the place he was crucified. Hear me. Until people crucify you, God will not give you a garden. In that same place you are being crucified, there is a garden. It takes an eye for you to see it. In the place he was crucified, there is a garden. Hear me? In that same sickness, there is a garden. In that same poverty, there is a garden. In that same dryness, there is a garden. But it takes finesse to know that there is a garden. People were seeing score, but Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus saw a garden. Is it making sense to you? Meaning the difference between what a poor man see and a rich man see is finance. Everybody was seeing bones, but these two worthy men saw garden. The reason why Agbaro is a village to you is because you don't have money. With the day you have money, Agbaro become a city, because it can be a village to every other person, but you will come there and put a garden there. You don't understand what I'm saying. In that place he was crucified. In that place he was crucified, there is a garden. In the same community where they mock you, there is a garden. Don't run away from the community until you bring out that garden. In the same community, in the same city where people torment you, in the same school where people look at you and say you are naughty, there is a garden. It takes finesse to bring it out. Everybody was seeing bones, but Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they saw garden. Hear me? No matter the level of anointing you carry, if you don't have money, you are a monkey. No matter the level, I keep on telling people, see, if there is, see, I love one video. I will never delete that video out of my phone. I love the video. They just ask the guy, what is your vision? Money. What do you want? Money. What's your dream? Money. Anything they answer, money. Because some of you don't know the importance of money. That is why you are still living in Golgotha, and there is a garden in Golgotha, you have not seen it. The body of Jesus would have become a curse. The Bible says, curse is the man that is hung to the tree. In the tradition of Israel, do you know why they crucified Jesus? It was to curse Christianity. Because in the tradition of Israel, if they want to curse a family, you know how they will not curse now, that will bring shame to a family. If they want to bring shame to a family, what they do is this, very simple. They will crucify the person. And the way they crucify people, they will crucify you and just leave you on the tree there so that birds will come and eat you. So that is where that quote, curse is the man that is hung on the tree, came from. So they wanted to humiliate Jesus by leaving Jesus on the cross. That was their intention, so that death, not just killing Jesus alone, not just crucifying him alone, they wanted to leave him on the cross so that death will come and eat, feed on him, so that tomorrow when you talk about Jesus, people will say, that cross man who was left in the cross for death to eat. But Jesus before now has been wise. He did not just make friends with poor people. He did not. Jesus knew that a time is coming that I will die. Jesus knew that I needed men with not just money. I needed men with connection. Joseph of Arimathea is a man that is connected. He's a politician. Why Nicodemus is a wealthy man and Jesus make friends with them. There are some of you now. We have election next year. You say, I'm not a vote. I don't have anything to do with politics. I pity you. The day you will be crucified, if you don't have Joseph of Arimathea, if you don't have Nicodemus, you will be humiliated. There are many of you like, they arrest your parents. Even if task force arrest your parents, you don't have an army friend you can call. You don't have a navy friend you can call. You don't have a police you can call. You say, I hate army, I hate navy, I hate police. When they arrest you, you will know the importance of ministry. Some of you don't even have lawyers as friends. Jesus was a very strategic man. He, look at all the disciples. Look at how Jesus selected Agbero, the inside. Peter was an Agbero, was moving with a sword. Matthew, the tax collector, that guy na Osusu man. Judas Iscariot, go and check, go and look at Jesus never selected two. They are different kind of people. He selected the one that no book. If it comes to book, he selected the one that know how to thief. Judas Iscariot, the Bible says he was a thief. So that when the occasion call for thiefing, can go and thief. Selected fishermen, and in that time, fishing was the tradition. It was the way people make money. So, meaning Jesus selected businessmen. If not our generation, for select Yahoo boys, two of us. No, that's my daddy. Look at me now. You see, some pastors, we die of poverty because they think, okay, in church, no, you want people that want to go to heaven. Wait, you and them will sit in the church and go to heaven. There are times you make what we call strategic alliance. Poverty, a poor man. I agree. The Bible says, it is difficult for a rich man to enter heaven, and it's easy for the head of a camel to pass through it. The Bible says it is difficult. The Bible never says it is impossible. But it is impossible for a poor man to go to heaven. It is impossible. The reason why our fathers is still a liar today is poverty. Your father lie. Landlord did not multiply. Tell us they are not the old. Tell us they are traffic. The reason why some of our mothers are still prostitute today is poverty. Mama, they do wrong. Speaking, they do wrong. If you know what poverty can do to you, the reason why some of you are in church, they are speaking in tongues, you are pressing your phone, is poverty. Because the inspiration to speak in tongues is not there. You never pay school fees. Next week, na exam. Which tongue did they speak? Arabic. See, let me tell you the truth. Come on, close, no time. If Jesus, the Son of God, can stop himself from being humiliated in the cross by making strategic relationship, you also, you need the same thing. How can you be the son of a poor man? Jesus was the son of a poor carpenter. But look at the people that Jesus surrounded himself with. Some of us, we come from poor background. If I see your friends, I they pity you. You have friends. See, you claim you have friends. Is that not true? But if you have problem of 100,000, Jesus has problem of 100 pounds. Nicodemus came to him in the night over 2,000 years ago and gave Jesus 100 pounds. Jesus, why not reject him? I'll see some pastor. You see, I don't take money. God, may I they take money?
See you, eh?
No, I think I will use prayer to pay the church rent. It's not prayer. Are you prayer to pay? We don't have light now. Okay, I want to collect light from this compound. Now, I'm a pastor. Why did they not take a pastor just connect it free? They said to bring 30,000. Not them, not Nepal, them. Okay, they would have said, oh, pastor. You're doing the work of God.
Stand up on your feet.
May God give us sense.
Welcome back. What you hear is what you hear. No man can be greater than his yesterday's words consumption. Words are the food your future needs to grow well tomorrow. Your today's life is a reflection of your yesterday's words consumption. Why your tomorrow's life will be a reflection of your today's words consumption. Hope you are blessed with this station. Join us again for another edition soon. For prayers, counseling, and testimony, call +234 7038 463 585. Be blessed and lifted. Shalom.